عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته، جزاكم الله خيرا فضاء بجن جزاك بارك الله فيكم. الحمد لله وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respect the Ummah. What opportunities Allah gives us to awaken another day, to be able to seize opportunities to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. What can be better than this opportunity to make a difference? An opportunity to uplift someone, an opportunity to help someone, an opportunity to fulfill huququllah and huququl ibad. And we find in the lives of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam just that. Every opportunity they seized and they took it as an opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah ta'ala, who is independent, is giving the opportunity. So let us capitalize on it. Because Allah doesn't need us. But Allah ta'ala gives us opportunities to serve Him. How thankful should we be when He takes any service from us? And when Allah gives us tawfiq to carry out any khidmah, and we attribute to Allah, number one, and then we make istighfar. We attribute to Allah that, Allah, you gave me tawfiq to carry out this khidmah. And then we seek Allah's forgiveness that, Allah, I can never fulfill your haqq. Through these two accolades, coupled with every good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us far and enable us with more opportunities. Alhamdulillah. And when we attribute to Allah, we get another benefit. When we get praised, then we won't actually become proud due to that praise. But we'll actually realize that Allah has actually concealed me. Because Allah has enabled me with that opportunity. And Allah has given me tawfiq to carry it out. So when we get praised, we won't take effect nor become arrogant, but we become humbled. And also there's another very pertinent lesson to learn. أَيَّكُونَ الْمَدْحُ وَالذَّمُّ سَوَى. Whether it's praise or whether it's correction, and sometimes criticism, it becomes equal because we have to do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why one person corrected Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And it happened to few Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And you know what the Sahabi said? If what you're saying is true, may Allah forgive me. And if what you're saying is not true, may Allah forgive you. And there's an amazing event in the life of Hazrat Umar, and it links to the daughter of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhum. And I want to share this because this Sahabi's incident becomes a motto. It can become a motto for every one of us to show us how amazing are the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum and every one of them. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu had four children with Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha. Now, subhanallah, Allah preserved the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through his daughter, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. From all the children of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all passed on before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's departure from this transitory world. But Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha remained for a few months after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her children she had were Hazrat Hassan and Hussein, whom we know, radiallahu anhuma, amazing, the grandchildren of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, Allah gave her Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, a child born in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did the tahniq and saw these little children growing up, Hazrat Zainab and her sister, Hazrat Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. And both Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu named these two children, Hazrat Zainab and Hazrat Umm Kulthum. They were named after their aunties. Because Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha's eldest sister was Hazrat Zainab. And her other sister was Hazrat Umm Kulthum. So Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha named her daughters the same way. Alhamdulillah. And subhanallah, who wedded Hazrat Zainab? Subhanallah. Interestingly here, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha passed on after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And obviously it was hard for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And who was with him was Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha. هل علي رضي الله عنه cared for her, tried to play the role of both parents, and subhanAllah, she grew and she blossomed, and subhanAllah, she was so close to her father, Hazrat Ali رضي الله عنه. And Hazrat Ali رضي الله عنه, when she was of marriageable age, wanted a good spouse for her, wanted a good husband for her. And subhanAllah, who wedded her? Who came to propose? And this brought joy to Hazrat Ali رضي الله عنه, none other than Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far. Now this is Hazrat Ja'far's son, Hazrat Ja'far, who is known as At-Tayyar, Ja'far At-Tayyar, the one who flies in everywhere he wants it. He flies in Jannah, the Shaheed, Hazrat Ja'far, radiallahu anhu, the one whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent to Abyssinia. He went with his wife, Hazrat Asma bint Umais, radiallahu anha. And subhanAllah, the couple went to Abyssinia to protect their iman. And what else did they do in Abyssinia? They protected their iman, but they also gave da'wah. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi writes that Sahaba never only went for iman, to protect their iman. They went to propagate as well. And this is what we learn from our elders and our pious. They say that if we do not give da'wah and advocate, we will become mad'u. Agar hum da'i nahi honge, to mad'u banenge. If we don't call to Allah, call to akhirah, call to good deeds, then we will take effect from the da'wat, the invitation of everything around us. So this is a very important lesson we should learn. We have to be out there to motivate and inspire. Otherwise, we would take effect. We have to affect before we take effect. And our elders put it sweetly, and I'll repeat, agar hum da'i nahi honge, to mad'u banenge. If we don't be da'i, we will be mad'u. So the point here is, Hazrat Ja'far and his wife, Hazrat Asma, made effort of deen with the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum. Many Sahaba migrated to Abyssinia radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and they strove for Allah ta'ala day in Abyssinia. Alhamdulillah. And their child, Abdullah, was born in Abyssinia. According to some reports, he was also one of the first children of the Sahaba to be born in Abyssinia. And interestingly, Najashi, who was so inspired by the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, who later on embraced Islam, but he was very close to Hazrat Umm Salama, meaning taking advice from the Sahaba and the Sahabiyat. And when Hazrat Asma gave birth to her child, Najashi, whose name was Ashama bin Abjar, the king of Abyssinia's wife, also gave birth. So he sends a message for Hazrat Asma that what you named your child, Hazrat Asma? And she said, I named him Abdullah. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that's among the best names. So Najashi also named his son Abdullah, alhamdulillah. Because Hazrat Ja'far's son and Hazrat Asma's son was also named Abdullah. But interestingly, in Medina Munawwara, the first child was also to be born from Hazrat Zubair bin Awam and Hazrat Asma bint Abi Bakr. So there in Abyssinia, the first child born from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum was named Abdullah, the first child from the Muhajireen. But in Medina now, after they migrated to come into this world after Hijrah, was none other than also Abdullah. But that is Abdullah bin Ja'far, and this is Abdullah bin Az-Zubayr. But both the mothers have the same name, Asma bint Umais and Asma bint Abi Bakr, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Now, interestingly, what happened then was when Hazrat Zainab, the daughter of Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anhuma, was of marriageable age, this Abdullah came to propose for her hand in marriage. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was elated by that. And alhamdulillah, he gave his daughter Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha to Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far. And subhanAllah, what an amazing couple. Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far is known for his amazing generosity. So generous he was. Historically, his generosity is known. SubhanAllah, his akhlaq, his kindness, the way he would help people more than what they expected. The way he was there to assist, the way he was there to support, the way he was there to uplift. And SubhanAllah, him and his wife, Hazrat Zainab رضي الله عنها. The couple served Allah's deen. The couple helped people. The couple uplifted people. Subhanallah. And interestingly, from the youth of the Banu Hashim, he was also Sahabi. He was the last. رضي الله عنه, he was the last to leave this world. From the youth of the Banu Hashim. He was still in the world and he left this world last. Just from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat Zainab's sister was Hazrat Ummu Kulthum radiallahu anha. And what happened here was, interestingly, Hazrat Ummu Kulthum radiallahu anha, when she got of marriageable age, imagine, subhanallah, Hazrat Umar wanted to wed in the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he requested Hazrat Ali, oh Hazrat Ali, will you, you know, give me this opportunity, because who will value your lineage like me? And subhanallah, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu gave his daughter, Hazrat Ummu Kulthum, in marriage to Hazrat Allahu Akbar, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu becomes a father-in-law of Hazrat Umar. Alhamdulillah. And when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu wedded Hazrat Ummu Kulthum, he was so elated. Alhamdulillah, he went into the masjid and he said, congratulate me. And they're asking him, like, due to who? So he said, Allah has blessed me. I'm just proposed to Hazrat Ali's daughter and our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's granddaughter, Ummu Kulthum. Oh, everyone congratulated him. Alhamdulillah. And he was so elated by this opportunity Allah gave him, because he is a great Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the greatest. But now he's wedded in the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, direct family, subhanallah, descendant of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this brought a lot of joy to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And it's so amazing to see the love of the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt. The relationship, the bond was really amazing. Subhanallah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Alhamdulillah, Hazrat Umar and his Mubarak wife, Hazrat Umar, the man of Barakah, the Mubarak, and his wife, Hazrat Ummu Kulthum, radiallahu anha. There's so many amazing events where they would serve Allah's deen. They would strive for Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. One famous event, Hazrat Umar, radiallahu anhu, he was patrolling at night. And Hazrat Umar would very often patrol at night, Allahu Akbar, and he would see what can be done, what service can be done for the Ummah, who needed assistance, who needed khidmah. Who's patrolling? Hazrat Umar. Imagine that. Hazrat Umar is patrolling and he's seeing to the needs of the Ummah when everyone is asleep. Subhanallah. How amazing. As the friends of Allah beautifully put it, وَأَجَلُّ صَحْبِ الرُّسْلِ صَحْبُ مُحَمَّدِي وَكَذَاكَ أَفْضَلُ صَحْبِهِ الْعُمَرَانِ رَجُلَانِ قَدْ خُلِقَا لِنَاصِرٍ مُحَمَّدٍ بِدَمِي وَنَفْسِي ذَنِكَ الرَّجُلَانِ فَهُمَا الَّذَانِ تَظَاهَرَا لِنَبِيِّنَا فِي نَصْرِهِ وَهُمَا لَهُ صِهْرَانِ وَهُمَا وَزِيرَاهُ اللَّذَانِ هُمَا هُمَا فضائل الأعمال مستبقان وهما لأحمد ناظراه وسمعه وبقربه في القبر مضطجعان. The greatest of the companions of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. The greatest of people are the companions. And from the companions, the greatest are, subhanAllah, Umarani. Umarani, the two Umars. And in Arabic, that refers to Abu Bakr and Umar. But the rhythm causes them to say Umarani. Two men, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, were created to help Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his deen. And he says, with my life and my blood, may I be sacrificed for those two great individuals. They were the two tadahara who fully supported our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and were backed him, assisted him. And they both are his father-in-laws. وَهُمَا وَزِيرَاهُ اللَّذَانِ هُمَا هُمَا. They both are the ministers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were the rulers, khalifas after him. لِفَضَائِلِ الْأَعْمَالِ مُشْتَبِقَانِ. They would hasten to فَضَائِلُ الْأَعْمَالِ. فَضَائِلُ الْأَعْمَالِ means the virtues of action. Meaning to carry out these virtuous deeds, to make Allah happy, and to make khidmat of the creation of Allah. They raced. They didn't say, we're already the best. Now, take it easy. No, the best don't take it easy. The best strive. The best seize every opportunity. They both are to Ahmad, his eyes and ears. وَهُمَا لِأَحْمَدَ نَاظِرَاهُ وَسَمْعُهُ وَبِقُرْبِهِ فِي الْقَبْرِ مُطَّجِعَانِ. They were his eyes and ears. The eyes and ears of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And close to him in the same grave are they both lying there. La ilaha illallah. How amazing are the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum. Now, subhanallah, Hazrat Umar was patrolling one night and he sees at a distance there is a man restless outside this tent and he doesn't know what to do. You know, there's no solution for his situation. He doesn't know what to do. He's restless. He's on his way into Medina, but due to this situation, he camped outside Medina. Who is there by him at midnight? None other than Hazrat Umar. Hazrat Umar says, brother, what can I do for you? What's wrong? Why are you restless like this? And Hazrat Umar is hearing moaning and groaning and crying from inside the tent. But this man now was in a situation where he was emotional and he was also ashamed of what's happening inside because he didn't know what to do. This is a man asking him, and inside the tent is his wife, and he has this quality of ghaira, you know, this sort of humility and this modesty and this, this sort of situation where he can't just mention the situation of his wife. He says, Umar, actually he didn't know this was Hazrat Umar. He says, what is it to you, brother? How can you assist me? Hazrat Umar says that maybe I could be of assistance to you. What is going on in there? Just tell me. He says, it's my wife in labor. What can you do about it? He doesn't know this is Umar. Keep this in mind. Hazrat Umar rushes home. He goes to the house of Hazrat Umm Kulthum. La ilaha illallah. He awakens her. He says, my wife, Allah has brought an opportunity for us to serve him. Are you ready to serve Allah by serving Allah's creation? There's an opportunity at our doorstep. She gets up quickly. Yes, Amirul Mu'mineen. What's needed? He explains to her the situation quickly. They take what is needed. He carries it. The couple go together in the direction of that other couple in the wilderness. La ilaha illallah. Hazrat Umar entertains the man outside, keeps him calm, puts on the fire, prepares the meal. Whilst his wife, Hazrat Umm Kulthum, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's granddaughter, is inside after midnight serving a strange woman that she doesn't even know who she is, helping that woman in her labor. Hazrat Umar prepares meals. He tries to keep this man cool and calm. After some time, la ilaha illallah, the announcement comes from inside the house. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Bashir sahibaka bi ghulam. Tell your friend, Allah has gifted him a child. This man is shocked. For the first time, he is now realizing who was the man that he was abrupt with a few hours ago. Who was the man who entertained him all night, made his khidmah, prepared his meal, and whose wife this is. La ilaha illallah. Yeh sahaba kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Hazrat Umar reassures the brother, there's nothing to worry about. So what if I am Amirul Mu'mineen? I am here to serve you. Don't feel ashamed. Don't feel scared. Subhanallah. Look at sahaba. How amazing. And compare you and I to this. The little we do, we want to announce it to the world. And services like this, are we prepared to involve ourselves in? Allah, give us tawfiq to quietly do for Allah and serve Allah and make Allah happy by serving humanity, uplifting humanity. This was Asoma. Imagine the granddaughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam making khidmah of people at that hour, not looking at time, but looking at the opportunity. Look at the statement Hazrat Umar makes to his wife when he awakens her. She's also going to wake up early for tahajjud, but look at this opportunity of khidmah. She doesn't say, no, I got a lot of ibadah to make, I got a lot of tilawat to make, I got a lot of amal to make. No, this is an opportunity that we have to do also. But this also has to be done. Khidmah of the khalq of Allah. And look at the statement he makes to his wife. Hallaki ila khairin qad saqahu Allah ilayki. Oh my wife, Allah has brought an opportunity right to our doorstep. Do you want it? This was common in Hazrat Umar's life. Khidmah. One night he's patrolling late at night and he was tired because Hazrat Umar was old. And he reclines on a wall and he mistakenly overhears a conversation where the mother and the daughter are arguing. The mother says, add water to the milk. The daughter says, wait, Ma, how can we do that? Hazrat Umar announced that that is not permissible. Sell milk purely as is. Why must we add? She says, but can't you understand? We need the money. Add water. Who would know? We'll sell a few more liters of milk. The daughter says, no, I can't. The mother says, but Umar won't know. The daughter says, you see, Ma, but Allah knows. Inshallah, the next opportunity, we're going to discuss that incident. And how, when we serve, the effect Allah puts is far-reaching. It's a constant effect when we serve for Allah, when we join in for Allah, when we do the gush for Allah, when we help people for Allah. And my brothers, my sisters, help everyone. Help Muslim and non-Muslim. When you go to the hospital, uncle, to visit the sick person, don't only, mashallah, see your relative who's sick in hospital. There's a non-Muslim there. Put your hand on him also. But you don't put your hand on the ladies, uncle. Gee, your wife can make dua for, can put your hand on the ladies, you know. Mashallah. But you put your hand on the uncle there, on his knee and say, uncle, you know, we've come from the masjid, we are Muslim, but we love you and we're making dua for you. Hey, thank you, thank you. I'm telling you, 99%, I'm 99.9% sure. And that man will tell you, you came to make dua for me, thank you. And you raise your hand, uncle, my brother, and you make dua. Oh Allah, this man is ill in hospital. Make easy for him. Cure him. Give him shifa. Even if he's non-Muslim, but you're talking to Allah. And you're asking Allah for him. Oh Allah, and are you making dua? Oh Allah, every heartbeat comes from you. Every sip of water comes from you. Every breath comes from you. Oh my Allah. But few times say, oh Almighty God. Because he doesn't know fully who is Allah. Now when you say a few times Almighty God, and then you say Allah most of the time, now he knows you're talking to Almighty God. Oh my Allah, make easy for this brother. Make easy for this individual. Make it easy for everyone in the hospital. Oh my Allah, make it easy for everyone in the world. And make sure you make dua for Gaza, even for that sick person there, but you're making dua. Oh Allah, in that dua, oh my Allah, our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers in Gaza. Subhanallah, yesterday in Westcliff, I met Uncle Pelwan, ya Allah, and you know what he's telling me? They just purchased a synagogue that has just been turned into a masjid. And he was telling me how abrupt the rabbi was. So I'm asking him, uncle, but what you told him? And the uncle, subhanallah, invited that rabbi and told him so beautiful things about Islam. But what the highlight was, he's telling me, he saw a list of all the captives in Palestine, in Gaza, who are our brothers there. So he says that, why you all got a list here? They say, no, we pray for them night and day. So you know what he tries to tell the rabbi and the Jews there? He says, for them, you don't have to pray because our brothers know how to take care of captives. They are living very, very nicely. They don't worry. So I say, how did they react? He says, no, they were shot. So, alhamdulillah, Ajib, Sahaba Kiram knew how to treat the captives. And our brothers there, subhanallah, the akhlaq, the testimonies of those who came out was so amazing. Ya Allah, this is the akhlaq of Sahaba Kiram, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Our time has elapsed, but my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, serve humanity, serve it, serve humanity. Allah loves this quality. And you know what's going to happen when you make dua for that sick person in hospital? Who's a non-Muslim, is going to tell you, thank you, I really appreciate it. What? Some of them will ask you, what religion you come from? Can I have a translation of the Quran? No, Allah Ta'ala, give us all tawfiq, every one of us. But don't be selfish to just see the Muslim and then run away. Muslim is not even 3% in our country. We have to care for the Muslim. But what about that non-Muslim? My brother used to say, our plight and situation today is, we enter the ward, there's a man who has a fever. And the other side, there's a man who got a heart attack. We all are treating the man with the fever. brother, take this flu medicine, take this ginger. That man got a heart attack. It's an emergency. We're not even bothered. That non-Muslim will die and go to Jahannam forever and ever. Who will take pity on him also? Allah give us tawfiq. Jazakum Allah khair. Unity. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.